This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Big Blue Kitten's got a 2.5 length lead. Slumber, Twilight Eclipse on the inside are coming. Big Blue Kitten, Slumber, Twilight Eclipse. Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Also sponsored by Abracadabra Farm, Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, American Racehorse Magazine, VetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Tollgate Hay and Straw, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, and Washington Hay.
Downward-bound Nyquist, swipe at the rail, swipe is coming fast, Nyquist calls on all his class, they hit and head for the wire, Nyquist was all hot.
American Pharoah put away Frosted, he has to deal with Keen Ice, Keen Ice has got him, Keen Ice has won the Travers over American Pharoah.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, HRRN Nation, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Pontiff of the Pick Four, or Pope Jude, however you want to refer to him. He's Jude Feld, and we are in our Lexington, Kentucky studios, a rare appearance in our studios with this show, and happy to have you on board throughout North America on Sirius 93, XM 93, our channel here every Saturday morning, and of course streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net, on Hank 96.1 in Lexington, and on ESPN 680 and affiliates across the country as well. And Pontiff, we are only 13 days, 7 hours, and 28 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Keeneland.
Yeah, that's like 6 hours closer than we were the last time we were in the studio.
Yeah, I say it's a rare appearance. Well, it is for the Equine Forum, because typically we're on the road with this show, but we are back in the studio. Typically, we would be at Keeneland for this program, but because of the fact that it, as John Gasper would say, it feels like walrus mating season out there with temperatures only in the 30s.
I didn't even wear a jacket this morning. I thought it was nice outside.
Bundled up and, yeah. You know.
I know. I saw a lot of people that were bundled up on my way in here, but I thought it was kind of nice.
Yeah. It wasn't all that bad. It wasn't a frigid 38 degrees. It was just a bit cool.
Was it 38 degrees?
According to the gauge in my car, it was.
Wow. Yeah. It must be impervious to weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a little chilly. Yeah, and I saw a bunch of tweets from some jockeys. Miguel Mena had one that just said, "Burr, working horses at Churchill."
Now, it might be colder at Churchill because it's close to the river.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I took the dog out. I didn't even have a shirt on. I was...
What?
Yeah, you know.
Hashtag topless pontiff.
Topless pontiff. That's a daily morning occurrence, really. I usually wear swim trunks. That's it. It's my usual attire, especially during the summer.
But, yeah.
Yeah, here we are. The champion races in Europe going on. Flying Officer and Frankie Dettori won the long distance cup for John Gosden to kick it off.
What's the deal with Glenn Eagles? Have you heard?
I read on Twitter this morning that he was still in the race, but they were expecting him to scratch after the second, I believe. Okay. So the scratch may come out shortly. And right. We also heard about Flintshire this morning not coming to the Breeders' Cup, going to Japan instead.
Big defection from that Breeders' Cup
Big
turf.
Big defection. I imagine Josh Christian is somewhere crying.
Yeah, he's probably not happy about that. A lot of people thought that Flintshire was going to be maybe the one to win that race, right? I mean, he looked like one of the likely choices.
Very good horse, very solid horse, and... you know, that's too bad, but they're picking the best spot for the horse. You can't blame them for that.
Yeah, that's, you know, that Breeders' Cup turf is an interesting race because you're going to have Twilight Eclipse for our good friends at West Point Thoroughbreds coming back for a third consecutive try in the turf. Remember, he was third last year. He was sixth in the race in 2013. And then you throw in the Pizza Man, who is an Illinois bred. Illinois bred's only 2-for-14 in Breeders' Cup history, which really, I guess, isn't that bad of a batting average.
Two for 14,
right? That's pretty good. And he'll look to join Bucks Boy, who won the Breeders' Cup turf in 1998. And the other Illinois bred, of course, came last year with Work All Week, who took the Breeders' Cup sprint. So we'll see.
Well, you know, Mr. House has Big John B in there, so
yes,
a good good defection for him. So
yeah, Big Blue Kitten for our good friend Ken Ramsey. He also has Shining Copper, who will likely go in that spot as the rabbit, as he likes to call it now, for Big Blue Kitten.
Yeah, he thinks he's British all of a sudden.
He's all of a sudden discovered that you can run a rabbit, right? Isn't it? He had a quote, something he, along those lines.
He said he found that out at Ascot. It hadn't occurred to him before he went to Ascot.
Yeah, he thought it was the greatest idea ever. Yeah, I love it. Maybe Golden Horn coming for John Gosden as well in that Breeders' Cup turf. And then you'll have the likes of Slumber for Chad Brown and Todd Pletcher sending probably Red Rifle, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, Red Rifle worked this morning, I think. You know, Golden Horn, if he comes, that's a big, big horse right there.
Yeah. He's tough.
Yeah.
He's tough.
Yeah. It's not going to be an easy race. Breeders' Cup turf is never easy.
Not going to be an easy race at Keeneland this afternoon either. It doesn't have Breeders' Cup implications, but the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run is the feature race. We're going to have that coverage for you beginning at 5 o'clock Eastern Time. Of course, you can go to horseracingradio.net for more information on affiliates and listen online and SiriusXM information for the Lexus Raven Run this afternoon. That broadcast from 5 to 6 also going to include the Maryland Million Classic. And it's a huge day for Maryland racing at Laurel. And that Maryland Million Classic has so many amazing storylines to it. So we're going to bring those to you later on this afternoon as well.
Yeah, it's a great day of racing in Maryland and fantastic card down there. Great betting cards and very interesting races.
So. Chauncey, Sean C., is going to be with us on site at Keeneland this afternoon to push all the buttons for us. But in the meantime, he is handling all the social media for us right now. And there's a poll question that we're going to throw out to you, as we do every week. And we want to hear from you, HRN Nation. So tweet us at HRRN, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And here's the poll question. We actually threw this out on the Brisnet.com call-in show this past Thursday night. What is the most memorable performance in Breeders' Cup history, in your opinion? The most memorable performance in Breeders' Cup history. I weighed in on Personal Ensign winning the Breeders' Cup Distaff. I thought, to me, that's one I'm never going to forget. I guess you could go back to the first classic as well, right? Gate Dancer, Slew of Gold, Wild again, battling down to the line together, right? That, well, that was memorable.
That was very memorable. I'll never forget the Wild Again race. It's like burned in my head. Vincent Timpany became a very close friend of mine many years after that race, and Vincent used to have that really on a loop at his house. You would go to Vincent's house. He'd call me and go, "Jude, my boy, I'm making some pork. You better get your ass over here." And I'd go to his house, take my family. He had a really nice place with a swimming pool. We always had great parties. Vincent was an unbelievable cook. But the minute you walked in the house, the TV was on, and it was Wild Again winning the Classic. And it was on literally on a loop. It just kept playing, you know, because people would come over and they'd want to see it. They'd want to talk about it. And he just left it on. It was great and amazing. You know, Pat Day, big number, really kicked the Breeders' Cup off in an amazing fashion.
You knew it would be a success at that point,
yeah,
right? You
yeah.
knew that the concept was going to work.
Yeah, it was an awesome race and a you know, beautiful venue and just incredible, really.
Yeah. What is your most memorable performance in Breeders' Cup history? Tweet us at HRRN. Hit us up on Facebook as well, Horse Racing Radio Network, and we'll try to pass along those comments as we move throughout the program here this morning. Now, what's coming up for you? After this first commercial break, we're going to be joined by who else? The Godfather, Tony Attiano from the Lexus store of Lexington, as he talks about their relationship with the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland. They've been a longtime sponsor of that race, and we'll visit with the Godfather here in just a few minutes. Dan Torchman from TVG will join us. He, of course, is also with America's Best Racing, but he will be helping with the TVG coverage of the Maryland Million this afternoon. So we'll talk to Dan about that outstanding program at Laurel. John Siskos from Woodbine, our good friend north of the border, will be here to talk about not the Toronto Blue Jays, but the huge day on Sunday with several graded stakes, including the Pattison Canadian International at Woodbine. And then hour number two, we'll be joined by John Gasper, Steve Castagnola, and Michael Hernan, not going to make it today. So many people disappointed in that, but he is out at the Gainsway consignment at Fasig Tipton getting ready for the October sale, which comes up next week. They are showing horses starting today, so Michael very busy with the sale. Couldn't make it to the program today. Billy White, the man who owns all the Lexington area Jimmy John's, he is going to be here with us in the second half of the program to handicap all the big races. So stay with us. It's a busy show. We'll get to it next. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment.
Are you a believer?
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
32 lifetime starts, 23 in greatest stakes.
And Justin Phillip will do it. He was a monster in the mud.
12 times first or second in greatest stakes company.
And Justin Phillip will prove best in the Cap Fleet Sprint.
Justin Phillip retired sound, having recorded 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better and 3 times racking up rag sheet numbers of 2.25. Justin Phillips' first foals have arrived and are just like their daddy. Impressive, strong, and loaded with quality. Seeing is believing with Justin Phillip. Hashtag Justin's Believers. Standing at Castleton Lions alongside multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Gio Ponti's first crop of yearlings averaged nearly $100,000 in 2014, and his first crop of racing age hit the track this year. Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Since the beginning, the stallions at Claiborne Farm have made an unprecedented impact on the Breeders' Cup. These stallions have sired more winners and more Breeders' Cup races than any other stud farm in the world.
Once again, Lane Harrod has done it!
When the best horses from across the globe compete in the Breeders' Cup, you can bet the Claiborne Stallions will make their mark. Claiborne Farm, firmly at the heart of the Breeders' Cup.
Maryland's horse farms make up 25% of our agricultural acreage, with industry assets worth $5.6 billion. With more than 65,000 people involved in the horse industry, we have ties to all sectors of the Maryland economy, providing more than 14,000 jobs and generating $72 million in annual taxes. Maryland's horse industry has a positive impact on land, money, people, and jobs.
Start now with your Cal Density Mare and Foal Feeding Program. Sales results were obvious at this year's Keeneland September Yearling Sale. Yearlings produced from mares fed Cal Density through their formative year were impressive, as well as horses trained and raced in 2014 and so far in 2015. Clean radiographs, conformity, strong bones, and overall health was the big winner at auction and on the track. Order your plan today at caldensity.com or call 877-744-9006 for more information.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
Hot Chocolate's making steady progress up into fifth on the outside and only 2.5 lengths to make up. They're off the turn. Dark Rain. Here's Karen's Prize. And on the far outside, Hot Chocolate is getting on track. And here comes Hot Chocolate racing after that lead and taking over with a furlong to go. Hot Chocolate has taken over. Dark Rain and Karen's Prize battled out for second and third, but down to the wire. Hot Chocolate does not disappoint. 1-5 by four. Dark Rain was second, Karen's Prize was third, and Bella Valachi got fourth.
Chocolate. Sounds like something my wife says consistently.
Ellis said his wife said it was ah chocolat.
It's chocolate.
Okay.
C-H-O-C-O-L-A-T. It's chocolate.
All right.
Anyway, Ah Chocolate won at Churchill last time out. That was an allowance company. Travis Stone had the call. Ah Chocolate, one of the contenders in today's Grade 2 Lexus Raven run at Keeneland. The race goes at 5:30 Eastern as race number 9. We'll be there on site at Keeneland to bring you that exclusive coverage beginning 5 o'clock Eastern time. And can't wait to have you with us for that broadcast this afternoon. It also includes the Maryland Million Classic. Welcome back to the Equine Forum, and we welcome in our first guest of the morning. And with this music, you know who it is.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it could be only one person. It is the Godfather, Tony Attiano from the Lexus store of Lexington. Godfather, I don't mean no disrespect or nothing, but welcome to the program.
Boy, am I on it. I've got the Baron on the phone, and I've got the post-time pontiff on the phone. Let me tell you, when he walks in the room, folks, it's post-time. That's the man. Jude, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on the show with us this morning.
Well, thank you for coming back. We missed you when you went out to that foreign country called New Jersey.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it is a foreign country, which you know very well.
Yes, sir. You know, the one thing that they can do to me at the store is when they introduce me to people and they'll say, yeah, Tony's from New Jersey.
Yeah.
Hey, you never tell a New Yorker he's from New Jersey. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding?
I always tell.
I did my time at Monmouth Park in Atlantic City as a jocks agent. That was enough.
Yeah, I tell people New Jersey's a good place to be from.
You're absolutely right.
So. Let me tell you something, Godfather. I made a phone call to my mother who lives down in Tampa, and I called her last night and I said, "Look, you know, I know that you know when Jude left, you stopped listening to the show because it was just your son, and." So I told her, Jude's back, and we're also going to have the Godfather and Billy White on the program tomorrow. And she said, oh, I'll set my alarm. I'll make sure I'm up to listen to this.
Set your alarm for 8 o'clock. Set your you can tell she's retired, huh?
She's heard me talk ad nauseum. She was over it. Hey, Godfather, how about this? You used to play a little professional baseball, so I found this statistic, okay? We're sitting here on October 17th. 2015, and on October 17th, 1885, baseball set all players' salaries at $1,000 to $2,000 for the 1885 season.
Yeah, that was the year I signed. That's I you know, I tell so many of the athletes that come into the Lexus store, you know, we do a lot of work with a lot of the athletes because of our connections, that they should all contribute $1,000, all these pro guys. And I, believe me, I'm happy for them. And they look at me and they say, for what? I said, you should build a statue for a fellow by the name of Lou Brock. I got a senior moment. The guy who tested the free agency market, all right, he was the one that was blackballed for the rest of his life, okay? And it was him who broke the salary barriers. Because, you know, when I played at the end of the year, they sent you a new contract. If you didn't like it, well, then so you didn't sign it. But you weren't playing with anybody else. That was it. You had that contract or nothing. That was the classic. And, you know, that's the way the game was played. And forget about it.
Yeah, I always tell people about Sandy Koufax and Don Drysdale. I was in my feetsy pajamas, and I was crying at the breakfast table because Walter O'Malley wasn't going to pay them $100,000 each.
Right.
And my dad was making like $25,000 a year. That was a great job in those days. And I was so upset. And my dad, he always called me Buck. He said, Buck, don't worry about it. He's going to give him the money. And I think about the contracts now, and you got guys that have a record of 7-14, and they're making like $5, $6 million a year. And, you know, with a 4.2 ERA, and here's Don Drysdale and Sandy Koufax, and the guy wouldn't give him $200,000.
I'm so glad you brought that up, seriously, Jude, because it's I was with the Dodgers spring training in '59 when Johnny Padres taught Sandy Koufax the Dodger curveball and the changeup. That's, and if you go back in the records, You look at the next 5 years. He had those were the most dominant 5 years I have seen in any pitcher in professional baseball. And I mean, because he, even though he had a phenomenal fastball, all these pro ball players, I mean, they'll sit on that fastball. They'll wait for it. They'll hit it if you shoot it out of a cannon. But once you come up with a curve and the changeup, the Dodger change and the Dodger curve, it's another world. And that's what made him so dominant. But he was just a tremendous ball player. And I mean, and well, Drysdale, I loved, even though I was a big Giant fan. Drysdale was about as nasty as you could get. I mean, and that's the way we played the game.
Joined by the Godfather, Tony Attiano, on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment. All right, Godfather, this is a horse racing program, and right. The Lexus Store of Lexington is the dealership of the horse industry here in Central Kentucky. We talk about that every week. We've done it for a decade. And you're also the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland this afternoon.
Big
and that's
day.
Going to be a heck of a race. You've been involved with that for a long time.
Big day, yep. We put that together about 11, 12 years now, and with Nick Nicholson and you know, the ownership group that I represent, the MAP group, just absolutely fabulous people, and they're in the horse business, most of the guys are. So it's a natural for us. It really is. And, you know, before we get to the Raven Run, in the seventh race, you know, I'm a tremendous hunch player. That's why I'm still working. In the seventh race, there's a horse I have to bet. He's 20-1. His name is He's From Queens. Brian Hernandez, Neil Howard. Neil Howard's a customer also. Now, let me tell you why this is so unbelievable. I'm from Queens. Donnie Trump is from Queens, all right? One of the breeders, and one of the owners also, is an outfit called Caldera Farms. I never heard of them in my life, okay? But I used to have a guy when I had my business in Queens that worked for me. His name was Jerry Caldera. So I'm saying, are you kidding me? This horse is 20-1, and they're talking to me. They're talking to me. Forget it. The house is going on this horse.
Uh-oh.
That's it. Well, hey,
time
we got
to get out the rosary beads.
Yeah, we have a spare room at the house if you need it, Godfather.
But in the Raven Run, you know, I know where you guys were just talking. This is some real nice horses. I love Bar of Gold. I love Miss Ella Fitzgerald, Irish Jasper, Chide. Those are my four. I'm going to do like what's his name? Who's the guy that you had on last week? I love him.
Ella Starr.
No.
Michael Hernan?
No.
John Gasper? Steve Castagnola?
Steve. You know, you ask Steve for a pick, and he gives you eight horses.
Yeah.
And I like that.
That's why I said Ella Starr.
Yeah. You're covered, so I got four horses. That's the story. I'm going with a four-horse parlay. That's out with it.
You know how many times I've done that, where I'll play, it's a six-horse field, and I'll take five of them and box them in a trifecta, because there's one horse that just absolutely has no shot, and that horse will win by 10. I'm glad I didn't like him so much, but he'll win by 10. How many times have you seen me do that, Jude?
Oh, lots. My favorite play of yours, though, is actually having the trifecta and losing money. That's my favorite Mike Penna bet. I had to try, but I lost $16.
Isn't it a great game? You know, I was there last week, and I was at Will Call to pick up a ticket. A doctor had left me a ticket. So the guy says, you know, your name, sir? So I give him my name, and there's a man standing next to me, and he goes, hey, you're the guy on the radio. So I said, yes, sir, that's me. The guy, see, you're the Godfather. Nice son of a gun, it's unbelievable. Four people in the course of that day came up to me and said they love the cars, they love coming to Lexus, they hear me on the radio with the Baron. It's unbelievable. I felt like a star. Then the one of the Pinkertons asked me to leave the track.
How many people actually come into the Lexus store and ask for the Godfather?
There's about three or four a week that will come in and ask for me. And it's interesting because we've been breaking in new receptionists, and I've got to sit down and explain to them. Now, somebody might come in and ask for the Godfather, and usually the young lady will say, like, what? I said, well, it's just a joke. Don't worry about it. But it's me. Just get me. But it's been a lot of fun when you guys came up with that name, you and Mr. Coolis there.
I still remember the day that I walked in. I tell this story all the time. The day I walked in and Tony was on a stool. And there's a, when you walk into the Alexa store, you see the receptionist desk, and then there's a huge fish tank that's kind of elevated, and they have all these beautiful fish in there. And Tony was on the stool feeding the fishes. And I said, oh, this is when the Godfather is, you know, somebody swimming with the fishes. I don't know.
You got to listen. That's a great sign. If we ever have a problem, I just bring it to the fish tank. You too.
Is that a thumb that I see in there?
Thumb.
No, it's been a great run, I got to tell you. And with Billy White coming on, just I want to see how fast he can talk. I'm telling him I'm timing him today.
Freaky fast.
Those commercials are fabulous. I don't know who's doing them. I'm a commercial freak. And I love those commercials. They're the best. Honestly, on radio, they're the best commercials. They're fun. I didn't know that so many people in this town, and I love Lexington, don't get me wrong. It's a very inside type of commercial that they could really understand it. You know, Freaky Fast, and the guy comes up with a long Greek name. And great stuff. Just great, great stuff. Great stuff.
Like, Stephanopoulos?
Yeah. Isn't that fabulous? Love that.
Well, Tony, just a couple of minutes left here before we have to wrap things up. Dan Torgman from TVG coming on next to talk about the Maryland Million races at Laurel. But sum up why Lexus has had so much success with the horse business and you know, that commitment that you've had for several years to supporting the horse industry.
Well, you know, I've told the story and told the story, and I'm not going to go through it again, but it's a big industry, but it's a small industry. It's an industry that really values the people who support them. If you support the horse industry, they'll support you. We really feel that we have the best car. Look what I've done to Ken Ramsey. Ever since he's been driving a Lexus LS, him and his lovely wife have been the leading owner and breeder in the world. You know, and I always kid him. I said, remember I told you when you bought that Lexus a few years ago, once you got in a Lexus, your luck was going to change. You know, have so much fun with stuff like that.
It had nothing to do with Kitten's Joy.
No, it's Tony Atiano, the man who gave Ken Ramsey confidence.
No, I saw his Ramsey red Lexus parked at Keeneland yesterday when I was out there. He parks right up the top of the hill, and you can't miss it. Has the Ramsey logo on the front of it.
I had to go to New York to get that car. Seriously, I had to go to New York. He had to have that color, all right? And, you know, we make all of our cars made in limited production. And I found that car in New York City, Lexus of Manhattan on 11th Avenue in New York City.
I'm surprised they let it out to sell it to somebody from Artemis.
So, I mean, but, you know, we do that kind of stuff. It's great. I love my people that drive the Lexus cars. And, you know, Javier Castellano, we got the number one jockey. Brought him in. We took pictures, and that's in my office now. It's great. Great. And I love when you talk about Lexus and how much you love it. It is a phenomenal product. We've got corporate people coming in today from Chicago and from California. And they'll be mesmerized by the people here in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah, well, Tony, I don't obviously say that stuff unless I actually believe it. But when I was able to purchase that Lexus that I have now a couple of years ago, I'm so thankful that I did, because it is absolutely by far the best vehicle that anybody could have. And I don't say it because you're a sponsor. I don't say it because you're a friend. People need to sit in this Lexus and drive it, and I call it an experience. It's a Lexus experience, and they won't be disappointed when they do it.
Well, I love when you say that, because that is the truth. It is an experience. I love it. I love the way people come up to me. It's just like when I'm walking around at the track. That's what I do. I don't sit in a box, folks. I walk around. And I love people, you know, because thank God he's given me quite a few years on this earth, and I hope to be here for a little bit longer. And people come in and they tell me how nice they've been treated and how wonderful the product is. And that's all. That's what life is about. That's all. It's very simple. Then if you got a horse that can run a little bit, I'm going to be dangerous this week. I'm going to Faithy Tippett. I'm looking at something. So I've got the rosaries out, and I'm trying to figure out what the hell I'm going to do. So.
There you go.
The Godfather, Tony Attiano from the Lexus store of Lexington. It is Lexus Raven Run Day at Keeneland. 5 o'clock Eastern is when our coverage hits the air. Make sure you join us for that. Tony, real quick, got to let you go, but a listener sent in and said that Kurt Flood was the name that you were trying to think of. Yeah, Kurt Flood.
I always forget his name. He was a Trump. He played with the Cardinals.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
And they traded him to the Phillies, and he said, no, I'm not going there. And that was the test. And Kurt was something else. He was something. I mean, they blackballed him for years. I mean, then he died of cancer a few years after that.
Yep.
But he was, you know, we have to be thankful for what we have. And you see the pro athlete today. I mean, the money is enormous. My God, I'm happy. But like Jude said, the guy's hitting .220 and he's making $3 million. You know, what the hell is going on? This is ridiculous. You know, these guys couldn't have been in AAA ball years ago. So. Hey, if you can get it and you got somebody who wants to pay you, take it. What can I tell you?
Antonio, we'll see you at Keeneland this afternoon. Thanks for taking a little time, my friend, and thanks for everything.
Molte grazie, and God bless you guys. Let's win some races.
Ciao.
Ciao, baby.
The Godfather, Tony Attiano, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Showing you off your Italian skills.
How about
this morning.
That? Well, I'm Italian.
You're like the fringiest Italian I know.
Oh, my mom is sending in, said she loves The Godfather, by the way. So there you go, well, Tony. I told you, she's only listening now because it's you're back, number one.
Yeah.
And then The Godfather and Billy White. Wait till Billy White hits the
air. Hi, Mom.
Yeah. All right. Going to get to our, well, normally our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, but we kind of just did that.
We just had a Legend of the Turf
We just
on.
Had the Lexus Legend of the Turf. So we are going to skip that story and bring you the commercial break here and then get right into Dan Torgman, who is going to join us from up at Laurel. He is covering the Maryland Million Classic and all those great races on TVG later this afternoon. So Dan's next here on the Equine Forum. Stay with us.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Come to beautiful Santa Anita today and you can compete for over $100,000 in the Santa Anita Autumn Handicapping Challenge. Go to santaanita.com now for details. Three-year-old fillies take center stage on Saturday in the Grade 3 Autumn Mystics. Come early and get down in our popular 50-cent pick five. And don't forget, we guarantee $500,000 in the late pick four each weekend. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Power.
And he's pulling away, and Frosted has won the One Memorial.
Passion.
Holding off Lee as they come down to the finish. Constitution in the Dawn.
Performance.
Ring Weekend and Drayden Van Dyke up to win the Kilroe.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet has once again been sensational in 2015. The champion sire is North America's leading sire this year, represented by four 2015 Grade 1 winners. Wood Memorial winner Frosted, Ring Weekend, who scored in the Frank E. Kilrow Mile, Don Handicap winner Constitution, and Untappable winner of the Apple Blossom at Oaklawn. Overall, Tappet has sired 17 lifetime grade one winners, 40 graded stakes winners, 11 millionaires, and 6 champions. Tappet is also ranked number one in the sales ring in both North America and Europe, with 2015 yearlings averaging more than 952,000. Tappet, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Total stretch in the classic, and Not a Broad's firing big today. Not a Broad turns for home with the lead. Regal Warrior, two Joes, eight to fast to catch, toiling back the fourth spot. And out in the middle of the track is Cactus Charlie, but it's Not a Broad who slipped through along the rail around that turn, opening up three lengths with one furlong left to go on Regal Warrior. Two Joes in for a piece of the far outside. Eight to fast to catch is dropped back in Cactus Charlie. It's Not a Broad's classic. Not a Broad to win by three lengths from Regal Warrior. Tijos is third and Cactus Charlie.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pennant, Jude Feld in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. Dave Rodman with the call of the 2012 Maryland Million Classic going to Not Abroad. Now, I said the 2012 Classic. Not Abroad is coming back and running in the race again this afternoon. Was turned out for 3 years after that last classic win, came back in an allowance race earlier this season, and now comes back here in the classic trying to win it 3 years later for trainer Lynn Ashby. It is an amazing story. She joined us earlier this week on our Express Bet radio program. Her interview is posted on our website, horseracingradio.net. She herself is an amazing story, being a breast cancer survivor. She had that last year. She is doing extremely well now. And boy, what a fairy tale ending it would be if Not Abroad were to win that race later today. We'll have that coverage for you beginning at 5 o'clock Eastern time here on HRRN. Going to be joined in just a moment by Dan Torgman to talk to us about the Classic and all the big races coming up in Maryland this afternoon. But first, I want to remind you that as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires, like The Factor, the top freshman sire by yearling average that's 15 times his stud fee, or Union Rags, a grade one winning 2-year-old and classic winning 3-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014, and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and 2-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, you can just visit lanesend.com. Dan Torgman with us now. He will handle the TVG coverage of the Maryland Million Classic and that outstanding card at Laurel later today. Dan, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. You know, we heard that clip of Not Abroad winning the 2012 Maryland Million Classic, and I referenced the interview with Lynn Ashby we did this past week. Man, what a great story, and how cool would that be if Not Abroad could pull it off?
Yeah, it's an unbelievable story, and it's really the one that's kind of picked up the most traction here in the past week. It's one of many big storylines on this day, which, of course, is a celebration of Maryland's breeding industry and racing in Maryland in general. But, yeah, the Not Abroad story is absolutely incredible. As you mentioned, for a horse to win this race, the Maryland Million Classic in 2012, races one more time in the Breeders' Cup Marathon, actually, finishes, I believe, fifth in that race, suffers a bow tendon, is retired for all intents and purposes for 3 years. And to come back now, as you mentioned, for Lynn, and I listened to your interview, who was undergoing treatment for breast cancer. And she's on the road to recovery, and the way she talks about the horse and how he really helped her through the process. I mean, whether you're a horse person or not, I mean, that's a storyline that you can empathize with and that you can really connect with.
Yeah, she's a great lady, and trained horses for many years. She trains Arabians as well, very successful in the Arabian business. And just the way she talked about the horse and her affection for him, and as you said, how he helped her through her recovery, gave her a reason to fight to get back. I think that was fantastic and kind of interesting too, that Kathy Ridvo, that had a similar situation with her heart transplant, is involved with this horse too. She actually trained the horse for a little bit, and her brother was instrumental in bringing this horse back to the races. So just a great story all the way around.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like I said, I mean, just a lot of human connections that you can make, and you can say, wow, this is really cool. And you can only imagine the scene in the winner's circle if this horse is able to pull it off. It would be truly one of the more incredible things. Of course, horses by Not For Love, who is the superstar Maryland stallion, who's won 32, whose progeny have won 32 Maryland Million races, which is by far the most of any stallion in the in Maryland Million history. So, I mean, the horse has a lot going for him. I mean, he did come back in an allowance race, a pretty tough allowance race. First off, that really long layoff, caught it off track in the race, still finished fourth. So, it's not impossible at all. I mean, it remains a mystery, whether he can sort of really call on some of that form that they got into the winner's circle in 2012. But not impossible at all.
Dan, who are some of the other horses in that classic that we should be keeping an eye on?
I like I'm Mr. Blue. He's down on the rail. I think he's got a lot of upside. He's another one by Not For Love. He comes out of back-to-back races over a sloppy track at Laurel. He finished second and a close third in those races. In both instances, I think he had some excuses. He's only a maiden winner, but since breaking his maiden, he's raced 11 times. He's only finished out of the money twice. He's a real honest horse, and I think this could be his breakout party. He's trained by Kieran McGee, who's sort of a lesser known trainer on the national scene, but locally is extremely well respected. Known mostly as a claiming trainer here, but he does extremely well with the horses that he has. Always hits at a pretty high percentage, and it would be nice for him to also capture a big Maryland Million race. So he's one that I'm kind of looking at. He's a little bit of an outsider for people playing the race, one to look at. You've also got Talk Show Man, who won the Maryland Million Turf last year, beating Ben's Cat. His form has been a bit off. I know trainer Javi Smith, I spoke to him earlier this week, he said he's not quite as confident as he was going into the Maryland Million last year. Still, the horse, one of his biggest numbers that he's put up was on the dirt at Laurel earlier in the year. Since then, he's been on the turf and hasn't performed as well. So if he can, run back to his dirt effort on the turf at Laurel, I think he's going to be extremely dangerous. So I would say for me, those are the top three in the race. Of course, you got plenty of others who are sort of well-known on this circuit. And you've also got, although he's cross-entered, you got Bullheaded Boy entered for Todd Fletcher and Gary Barber. So those are a couple of interesting horses, I think, to look at.
Well, the other star of the show on this Jim McKay Maryland Million Day is the venerable Ben's Cat, who is now, 9 years old and going in the $100,000 Maryland Million Sprint. That should be a lot of fun. It's on dirt, not turf like we're used to seeing for Ben's Cat.
Right. I mean, what can you say about Ben's Cat that hasn't already been said? Nearly $2.5 million in career earnings, 30 wins, 25 stakes for trainer King Leatherberry, now Hall of Famer King Leatherberry. I mean, he's absolutely incredible. Won the Maryland Million Turf Sprint 3 years in a row, and then King joked around about, how they took the race off of the program on Maryland Million Day, the Turf Sprint. And so he was forced the past 2 years, as King would put it, into running in the into the mile turf race, which he felt was a bit long for too long for Ben's Cat. And of course, we saw him just get beat both years, finished twice both years. First a Road Hog in 2013, and then as I mentioned, to Talk Show Man last year. Getting back to sprinting on the dirt. It's not something that he isn't familiar with. He's won 3 races out of 5 tries on the Laurel Dirt. And he's also posted a really he posted a really big number last time he ran on the dirt at this distance. So he's going to go off as an enormous favorite, and rightfully so.
Dan Torgman from TVG, he'll handle the coverage this afternoon. He's joining us here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You didn't know where I was going with that, did you?
I had no idea.
Yeah, I really didn't either. So, just so you know.
Threw me for a loop, too. I do want to point out that I will be anchoring today's coverage with Caitlin Bradar, which is an honor for me. This will be my first time anchoring the coverage on Maryland Million Day, with it being the 30th. Jim McKay Maryland Million Day is obviously a significant anniversary, and it's a big honor for me. I, of course, also am a brand ambassador with America's Best Racing, and really all about promoting the sport of racing and bringing new fans and young fans into the game. And I think this is just one of those great events that we've got every year in racing, which is just great for everybody, whether you're a new fan or a longtime fan. So it's a pretty exciting day.
Well, you've obviously done your homework on this event. Can you explain the intricacies of who's eligible for these races?
Yeah, so, nationally, we look around at a lot of these showcase days. We see them in New York, we see them in California celebrating state-bred horses. And this is a little different. This was actually the first of its kind. It's the one that sort of inspired all of these national showcase days that we see from state to state. This one is a little different in that it's Maryland Million sired, Maryland sired horses rather than Maryland bred horses. So, the sires themselves, the stallions, have to be Maryland Million nominated. And once they're nominated, their progeny then become eligible to race. So, there may be, a Maryland sired horse who's TA bred, for example, and they're still eligible. On the flip side, you might have a Maryland bred that's not Maryland sired and not registered as a Maryland Million horse, and they would not be eligible.
Dan Torgman with us here on the Equine Forum on HRRN. Again, he'll be anchoring that TVG coverage of the Maryland Million Classic and Maryland Million Day. We'll have the coverage on radio beginning at 5 o'clock as well. So a lot of ways that you can follow those races throughout the afternoon. Dan, like all of our guests who appears on the program, will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Dan, really do appreciate the time, and all the best with the coverage today, and enjoy the racing.
All right. Thank you, guys. You too.
All right. We're going to get to another break. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to Woodbine and their huge afternoon of racing tomorrow. We'll be joined by John Siskos on the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair Strips. FlairStrips.com.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their 3-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
There are millions of reasons to get involved in the fastest growing promotion in horse racing and the 3rd richest thoroughbred event in the United States, the Daily Racing Form NTRA National Handicapping Championship. Whether it's online or on track, start playing today for $2.5 million in prize money and an Eclipse Award as Horse Player of the Year. Join the DRF NHC Tour today and start planning your trip to NHC in Las Vegas. Go to NHCTour.com for details.
Earn a lifetime breeding in Danza, a dominant Grade 1 winner and a leading three-year-old of his generation. Half-brother to Grade 1 winner Majestic Harbor, Danza defeated top three-year-olds such as Bayern, Strong Mandate, and Commissioner.
Danza, in a sparkling performance, is making short work of the Arkansas Derby field. Danza is the boss as he wins by five.
To learn how easy it is to earn your lifetime breeding, contact Spendthrift Farm today.
HRRN's newest show is Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern, Mike Pena and Christina McManigal will bring you exclusive interviews with the best jockeys in the business. Jock Talk, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, on Sirius 220 and XM 206. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live. Later today, HRRN wraps up our coverage of Keeneland's fall meet with our exclusive broadcast of the Lexus Raven Run.
Final furlong of the Lexus Raven Run, and Taurus has an 8-length lead past the 16th pole. Taurus demolishing the field for Clinton Potts.
Tune in as we bring you all the action live from Keeneland. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live. The Lexus Raven Run, only on HRRN.
Hi, this is Doug O'Neill. My favorite radio show is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Up with the bird, still seven lengths off the lead as they come over to the top of the stretch. Outside, five iron, and inside, really sharp. They've been battling throughout, and River 7 is set down by Jesse Campbell. Here comes River 7. Door set up with the birds has come from last. Here comes the Grade 1 winner, Up with the Birds, in full flight on the outside. Up with the Birds, under a hand ride here. This is some performance. Up with the Birds just blew them away. Last to first to win the Nijinsky. Dynamic Sky was second, River 7 third, and Dorset was fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, and Classic Dan Loisel with the call of the Nijinsky Stakes, and Up with the Birds getting the victory that afternoon. He's back in action in the $1 million Pattison Canadian International tomorrow afternoon, and can't wait to watch Up with the Birds and all the great racing action coming up. Going to be joined by John Siskos from Woodbine in just a moment, but do want to remind you that when you go out to Woodbine tomorrow or you watch it and you're going to wager on it, you're going to see the $1 million Pattison Canadian International. You're going to see the best horses from countries like Ireland, Germany, England, France, Australia, the United States, and of course, Canada. And with $1 million on the line, yeah, you better believe that they're all going to bring their A game to Woodbine. You can wager on the early pick four, which is guaranteed at $300,000, and the late pick four pool at $500,000. Woodbine also offering 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Pick 4 pools. It's the Pattison Canadian International tomorrow, live from Woodbine, first post, 1 p.m. And for more information, all you have to do is visit CanadianInternational.com or follow them at Woodbine Racing on Twitter. And, of course, you can also listen to our next guest, which is John Siskos, here on the Equine Forum. John, welcome to the program, my friend.
Well, good morning, Baron. Good morning, Pontiff. I hope all is well. Things are a little cool in Toronto today, but we're looking forward to a pretty exciting weekend, especially tomorrow.
Yeah, what an afternoon of racing tomorrow. When you look at the Pattison Canadian International being the signature event, $1 million on the line and a truly international field, that's going to be a lot of fun. And then the race preceding it is the Grade 1 E.P. Taylor, and we know how good that race comes up every year. Tell me a little bit about the day and about some of the contenders that we can look forward to seeing.
Well, let's start with the E.P. Taylor, Mike. You know, it's come up very, 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 very tough. You know, there's any number of horses. I don't think we have a horse that's more than 20-1 in the morning line. And we've got a blend of European contenders and American contenders. The exciting one for the local racing community is we actually – meaning Woodbine, meaning Canada, actually has a chance to have a winner in the E.P. Taylor. It's been two times in 20 years, something like that, and a Canadian bred hasn't won since the 70s. So I think people are excited about Strut the Course, a legitimate horse who's an Ontario bred by Strut the Stage, and a hard-knocking horse that runs well over firm and runs well over softer course. And it's only 4-1 in the morning line, and well respected by the by even the European horses. So I think people are excited about that horse. But there's no looking past the Europeans here. Kirby, who ran in the Flower Bowl last time out, but I think people will look at that race over the soft course and think, well, that was over soft course. I'm pretty sure we would call if we ran the race today, we'd call the race call the course firm, and there doesn't seem to be too much rain in the forecast. So I think you're going to get a firm course for tomorrow, which obviously will be important to a lot of the contenders here. So I think Kirby has a bit of a chance if he bounces back to some of his group form in Europe, and it looks like you might like the firm turf.
Yeah, Kirby's a very talented filly, and she didn't have the best of trips in the Flower Bowl, so I do think she's tough. The other Euro that looks super tough is Talmada with William Buick for Roger Varian. She's got some good racing post numbers and some excellent form as well.
I agree. You know, she's third or fourth on my list, and 15-1 in the morning line. She seems to be fancied in the anti-post markets in Europe a little bit more than our morning line makers thought. I think she's live too. I love her firm course form. I'm less impressed if we did get some sort of deluge of rain, which we might get, but might not get. You know, 40% chance of rain. Again, to stress Jude, the turf is going to be firm, I'm pretty sure. So I'm basing most of my handicapping, and I encourage the listeners to do so based off of a firmer than usual turf course.
Post time for the Grade 1 E.P. Taylor tomorrow afternoon at Woodbine is 4:57 Eastern Time. John, how about the big one, the $1 million Patterson Canadian International, which comes up at 5:42 Eastern? Tell me about that field.
Right. I think that's another race that could be dominated by the Europeans, though I do have an upsetter, an American upsetter in there, I think, that might run well. The second step is the morning line favorite, a Luca Kumani horse who has won the international before with if you guys remember the mare Infamy. She won the E.P. Taylor, and Lucas has sent horses over here before and done well. He won the Group 1 German race I guess in August it looks like, and German last race in Germany kind of horses have run well in the international before, but that's when the turf has been less than firm, I've found. So while he's legitimate and has some class, I think the other horses that are more interesting to me are Cannock Chase. Cannock Chase is another horse that is fancied in the overseas anti-post markets by a lot of people, and I think he is live too. And Sir Michael Stout has won this race twice, including last year with Hillstar. So emerging horses, like, he doesn't have quite the form that some of the other ones have, but he does have group placing, has Group 1 experience. He's the kind of horse that can leap forward, I think.
Yeah, and he has Ryan Moore, which is the great equalizer.
Well, he's he's won the last two internationals too. You know, he's won one over Hillstar, and won with Hillstar, and he's won with Joshua Tree. So there's the last two Canadian Nationals have been ridden by Ryan Moore. Winners have been ridden by Ryan Moore.
John Siskos from Woodbine here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. John also referenced the wagering that's going to take place tomorrow and the guarantees in some of the different pools. Tell me about that.
Right. That's something we're very excited about. We've tried to step up our game a little bit with our guarantees. We're at 300,000. Early guarantee, early pick four guarantee, and we're excited to offer the $500,000 guarantee on the late pick four, which includes the E.P. Taylor and the Patterson Kane International. So there's lots of money available for somebody to get paid if they hit the right combo. Again, to stress, it's a very, very tough sequence. I think somebody, if they hit the ticket, they are going to get paid. It's a good one. I wanted to go back to one point, gentlemen. I do like an American horse in the international. I forgot to mention. I really do like Triple Threat, the Bill Mott horse that ran in our prep Northern Dancer last time, and that one was a third place finish over soft turf. So he'll be easily dismissed, I'm pretty sure. But if you read Bill Mott's comments and you look at the horse's form, he needs firm turf. And if he gets the firm turf today, I think, or tomorrow, pardon me, he is going to be absolutely live at a big price. I think he's going to be sort of 10, 12 to 1. I think he's probably a good value play that you have to throw in your pick force.
Yeah, 10 to 1 on the morning line is Triple Threat. He is number 7 in that Canadian International. 4 for 16 lifetime, and if John's right, he will exit that race as a Grade 1 winner, and he will be 5 for 17 lifetime and put that big purse into his account, and that's number 7, Triple Threat. John, as always, my friend, appreciate the time and appreciate all the support that you've given us over the years here on the network, and look forward to that great day of racing coming up tomorrow at Woodbine.
No, I wanted to thank you too, Mike and Jude, and you have a great day. We're very excited about our card tomorrow. It's a nice big fat card with a field size of over 9 per race. Lots of talented horses too. The quality of horse flesh is high, so we're very excited about it. And thank you for all the support too.
Yeah, hey, let me very quickly, John, before I do let you go. We heard that call of Dan Loisel with Up with the Birds, and obviously he retired earlier this year, and so many people are missing his calls there, but you know, you have a pretty good one up there right now.
He is amazing. Robert Geller is, if you call him, he was the race caller at Emerald Downs, and he's fit in like a glove. He is being embraced by the racing community, and he's being embraced by the fans. Now, he is a different race caller than Danny, and people know that. But he is being embraced, and he's fully engaged in the community. He is he's very prominent on social media. He's giving handicapping tips. He's just doing a terrific job. We're very happy. He's happy here. He's totally embracing how important that role is. And in all frankness, is following an icon in the race calling game. So he's just terrific.
Well, it's a great time to be a Toronto sports fan, and good luck to your Blue Jays as well.
Was painful last night, I'll have to say, but we're very excited. It's been 20 plus years around here, and being a baseball fan, it was tough to watch. But you need 4 to win.
Well, good luck on that, John, and good luck on those races this weekend as well.
Thanks again, gentlemen. Take care.
And John Siskos here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, like all of our guests, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. It's as classy and alluring as the game itself. You can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for a story, so you know Triple Threat's going in my pick for it.
Yeah, it was so funny when he went back to that. Remember, I was writing a note to you, and I was saying, did he ever say the name of that American upsetter?
Right.
I didn't think he did.
No,
and I was
going
to ask him about it, but
you were paying attention to your own show.
He led right into
it. Take a picture.
He? He's a pro.
It's a red letter day.
Yeah, John's a pro. Shocker. All right, we're going to get to hour number two. Stevie Castagnola, John Gasper, and our man Billy White from Jimmy John's. They're all in studio. We'll take a look at some of the big races coming up this weekend, and we'll talk a little Breeders' Cup right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. We're back with hour number two.
Celebrating 10 years of Eclipse award-winning coverage. Thank you for making HRRN your home for a decade of memories.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how do you value a horse for insurance?
Well, Mike, it's easy to value a horse when purchased out of a public auction. The insured value would simply be the auction price. But insuring homebreds can be a little more involved.
How so?
Well, factors such as a stud fee, confirmation, pedigree, sales and race records of siblings, even popularity of the stallion all come into play.
How closely do you work with owners in determining a horse's value?
Well, the owner has a pretty good idea of the horse's value, so generally it's just a matter of agreeing to the request and having the policy issued.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Joe Brown Nicholson at NicholsonInsurance.com or call 859-224-7080. That's 859-224-7080. Nicholson Insurance Agency.
Every morning in Maryland, a new day dawns on more than 16,000 horse farms. From the mountains to the ocean, and all along the Chesapeake Bay, new life surges from paddock to field to track, energizing the O-line state's grandest sport. Maryland, we grow horses.
And they're off to New York, the premier state-bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Adina Springs added Macho Uno's best son, Mucho Macho Man, to their stallion roster for the 2015 breeding season. And with 95% of his mares getting in foal, he certainly took to his new job well. Mucho Macho Man earned $5.6 million on the track, culminating in his thrilling victory in the 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic over Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
On the outside, Declaration of War, Will Take Charge. Mucho Macho Man just keeps on finding on the lead. Will Take Charge, a late run. Oh, that's close. Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
Few horses can be multiple graded placed at two, run in all three legs of the Triple Crown, and then go on to become a Breeders' Cup Classic winner as an older horse. And all this from a foal born June 15th. Visit AdinaStallions.com to learn more about Mucho Macho Man and all the Adina Stallions.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Chicago's about to erupt. The Illinois Bread, the Pizza Man, just won the Arlington Million under Florent Giroux.
As they come down to the 16th pole, it is Texas Red in front. Frosted runs at him. Texas Red, Frosted, a dramatic Jim Dandy, and Texas Red has won it.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens. Beholder in a formality.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, in our Lexington, Kentucky studios this afternoon. That will change. We're going to head back out to Keeneland, and we'll be there for our exclusive coverage of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run and the Maryland Million Classic. That coverage coming your way 5 to 6 Eastern Time. You can go to horseracingradio.net for more information. And by the way, if you missed any portion of the first half of the program, some great interviews with the Godfather, Tony Attiano from the Lexus store, Dan Torgman talking about Maryland Million Day, and John Siskos from Woodbine. A podcast of this program and all of our shows is available for you at horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. Fun first half, JT. Second half's only going to get better.
Absolutely. Well, we have this cast of thousands here, so we'll have different voices anyway. It won't be just you and me.
Yeah, John Gasper, Billy White, the newcomer to the group here this morning, and our good friend Stevie Castagnola. And guys, we'll spend some time talking about the races, but also going to spend some time talking Breeders' Cup as we do edge closer to the World Championships, now only 13 days, 6 hours, and 22 minutes away. So getting ever closer to the first World Championships held here in the Bluegrass at Keeneland. The poll question today, you can tweet us at HRN and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. The poll question is, what is your most memorable performance in the history of the Breeders' Cup? The moment you'll never forget. If it's a race, if it's a race call, whatever it might be. And here are some of the responses. And believe me, they are coming in fast and furious here this morning. One listener writes in and says, Tom Durkin's call on Cigar at Belmont. You remember that one, the incomparable, the invincible, the unbeatable Cigar, and saying it still gives him goosebumps. Another one, there's so many, but Blame Zenyatta, Goldikova, 3 in a row, Arazi, Personal Ensign, Big Z, meaning Zenyatta beating the boys, Swain and DeTore's weird ride, which cost him $1 million pick six. I guess that's another reason to remember it. Jill Byrne, our friend Jill Byrne, writes in and says, many memorable Breeders' Cup performances for me, but the most memorable performance goes to Personal Ensign in 1988. So Jill is on board with me in that respect. Arazi, by far. Another vote for Arazi. A couple of Arazi fans out there. Zenyatta's one and only loss, along with Mike Smith's press conference that followed. And here's another one, Zenyatta's heroic win in 2009. Our good friend Kelly Peichel writes in and says, her first day at the track, Churchill Downs, 1991, Arazi. All right, cool. Zenyatta, even in defeat, another vote for Arazi. And let's see, here's another one. Never been done before and may never be done again. Goldikova winning her third straight in the Breeders' Cup mile. And then, oh, how about this one? Here indeed is a superstar. You remember that call?
Yeah.
Just unbelievable. A couple more. Personal Ensign, not even close. Blame. The 2009 Classic. This is unbelievable. Trevor Denman with the call. Another vote for Cigar and Tom Durkin's call at Belmont. Wild again, never to be topped. And waiting out the inquiry.
The way, was that Vincent friend, Tiffany's son?
Bill Ventus writes in. And Christopher Woods says Zenyatta, 2009. So a lot of Zenyatta, a lot of Arazi, a little bit of Personal Ensign sprinkled in, and a lot of that Cigar call by Tom Durkin.
Yeah, Personal Ensign, probably the favorite in the clubhouse. I have a few. Being able to broadcast shared account, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, your brother's horse.
My brother's horse. But the first Breeders' Cup, I had just gotten a filly in my barn from Wyoming named Course I Can. And she had run twice against Franz Valentine at Pomona. And Franz Valentine had won both stakes at Pomona by open lengths. I'm talking 15 lengths or whatever. And so I was so excited when Franz Valentine won. And then in 2 seconds, she was disqualified. But having that filly in my barn from Wyoming, I was hoping Franz Valentine would win and validate her form. And I actually ended up winning a stakes with her later on. So I will never forget that because I watched that in the living room in my house. I couldn't go to Hollywood. My oldest daughter had just been born. And so I couldn't go to the first Breeders' Cup. I watched it on television. But that was a great moment.
Well, our trio of special guests have been waiting patiently to share their thoughts as well. Stevie, we'll start with you. First of all, thanks for being back here again this morning. Breeders' Cup coming up quickly. How about your most memorable performance?
I think definitely Arazi, just from a visual standpoint, just breathtaking, the move that he put in to run by that field like they were tied to a pole. That definitely stands out. Surprised no one touched on Tisnow. 1 year over Giant's Causeway, and the next year over, was it Swain that was making a right turn to the rail? And another good race call, Tisnow wins it for America.
Yeah.
Very surprised no one touched on that. From a sentimental standpoint, I had just locked up the recruitment of Unbridled Elaine when she won under Pat Day at Big Odds, and she got checked at the top of the lane and came running just a big 17-hand Unbridled Song Filly. So from a sentimental and somewhat financial standpoint, Unbridled Elaine is close to my heart.
Billy White Shoes, Lexington area Jimmy John owner. How about for you?
Good morning, fellas. Good morning. This is like sitting in with the Rolling Stones. I appreciate you calling me to pinch hit this morning. So just like Steve, a lot of this is, like we've all talked about, a lot of this has to do with emotional attachment to these race calls. And, of course, financially is how I get most of my emotional thrill when it comes to horse racing. And Well, you did touch on Tis Now and Causeway, Giants Causeway. Yeah. That was an incredible stretch run, probably one of the best ever. They were ding-dong, and weren't they all the way down the stretch? Was it Churchill Downs?
Yeah.
But I'll take it back, which is not – it's only exciting because we happen to have the right ticket, but Cat Thief delivering that huge bomb at Gulfstream Park. We had my team, Johnny Pratt and Doug Ficka and the crew had the late daily double. We spent all the money on a limo to get back to the hotel. Just like all of your listeners that write in, very emotional day for us. But it was fantastic. But I remember that like it was yesterday. Great day. And it always is when you have the right ticket.
Yeah, everybody has a different reason for finding that memorable moment. John Gasper, how about you? What's your most memorable Breeders' Cup moment?
Well, kind of prejudice on this. Obviously, I was Randy Romero's agent for quite a while, and luckily, one of those periods of time was when we were riding Personal Ensign, and of course she came back from just a almost catastrophic injury where she broke her pastern behind getting ready for the Breeders' Cup at 2, and she had to sit out her whole 3-year-old year, and then at 4 she began her career again, which was absolutely amazing in itself. And I remember we were at Belmont Park and we couldn't, and Shug McGahee was the trainer, and we couldn't get a race to go for her. Of course, everybody knew she was on the grounds and she was ready, and you know, so we just ran her in the Shoe V first time out. And she got left at the start. She was about 5 lengths behind at the start. And she ran by them like a freight train by a hobo. And I said, if they haven't beat her today, they're not going to beat her. And luckily, she went on and won all the rest of the races and beat the boys in the Whitney. But when it came to Breeders' Cup, the track, as you recall, was kind of one of those sticky, muddy tracks. And it was a cold, blustery day that day. And we were up on the 6th floor watching her and going down the backside. I looked at my wife and I said, I don't think it's going to be today. And here she comes. You know, I mean, it was unbelievable. Even Randy said, I didn't do it. She did it. You know, and she gets up in the last stride. And, of course, if Tom Durkin, if you remember, and he said, you know, she released, here's Personal Ensign with a furious rally on the outside.
Yeah.
Got up in the last jump.
Yeah, and when you watch it, even now, you watch the replay and you think there's no way that Personal Ensign is going to get up. I mean, even at the 16th ball, you're thinking, okay, she's beaten. There's no way it's going to happen.
No.
And, you know, Randy joined us a couple of months ago on our Jock Talk program, and he talked about the race and everything that went into it, and it was so amazing to hear him walk us through it. Just incredible.
Well, nobody thought. I mean, Shug didn't think that she would get up, but, after talking to everybody after the race, you know, Mr. Phipps didn't think he'd, you know. I mean, nobody did. And like I said, it wasn't anything I did, Randy said. It was just her.
Yeah, amazing. Another great moment in Breeders' Cup history. Of course, we'll be there this year with more than 19 hours of Breeders' Cup week coverage on-site at Keeneland. It begins Tuesday, October 27th, with the first of 4 Breeders' Cup countdown shows. You'll catch those from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning. They are all presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns. Then we'll segue into our exclusive coverage of every Breeders' Cup race and maybe some great memories to be made again this year. I'm sure there will be. And all of that coverage Friday and Saturday presented by our friends at Cal Density.
Yeah, it's just, it's like Christmas. It's better than Christmas.
Yeah, great betting day, by the way. All right, we're going to go ahead and pause for our Blood Horse News update. Then we'll come back, and guys, we'll take a look at some of the races. We'll start with the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run. Get your thoughts on that race coming up later this afternoon at Keeneland. But it is time for your Blood Horse News update. began this look at the headlines brought to you by BloodHorse.com. Tepin leads slate of Breeders' Cup workers for Cassie. Long before daybreak at Churchill Downs yesterday, trainer Mark Cassie sent Breeders' Cup mile contender Tepin out over the main track to kick off a string of workers gearing up for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. The Bernstein filly, who took the October 3rd First Lady Stakes at Keeneland by 7 lengths last time out, will make her first run against boys in the October 31st Breeders' Cup mile. And Frosted pleases McLaughlin in his New York drill. Trainer Kieran McLaughlin, his Breeders' Cup hopefuls, led by Grade 1 winner Frosted, continued their preparations in New York October 15th and 16th for the upcoming event here at Keeneland in 2 weeks. Frosted, who is targeting the Breeders' Cup Classic, breezed 5 furlongs in 59 flat October 16th at Green Tree Training Center in Saratoga Springs. And that is your Blood Horse News Update. For more industry news and headlines, just head on over to BloodHorse.com. All right, Mike Penna, Jude Feld with you here on the Equine Forum, as are Steve Castagnola, Billy White, and John Gasper. Guys, the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run is the featured event at Keeneland this afternoon. A field of 11 3-year-old fillies set to sprint 7 furlongs on the main track. Should be a gorgeous day in Lexington, albeit a bit cool. Temperatures only in the upper 50s, but expecting a fast main track for this year's Raven Run. And Stevie, let's kick it off with you.
Well, definitely a very competitive field of 11. And as I was going through the race, I was trying to figure out where the speed is going to come from. That doesn't seem like anybody, their natural running style is to be on the front end. Maybe the 8 Sarah Sis, but a race that looks devoid of speed. And you know how that happens. It's a race where nobody appears to want the lead, and inevitably we'll get 4 of them gunning out there with the same idea. The 2 Bar of Gold appears a deserving favorite. She's coming out of her last 2 races in New York at Saratoga, the Grade 2 Prioress, in which she was 2nd to Cavording. Prior to that, the Grade 1 Test, also 2nd to Cavording. She had a little bit of trouble in both her running lines there, brushed at the gate in the test, and was 7 wide in the Prioress. She'll definitely be glad to see the back of Cavording in here. She goes postward as the 5-2 favorite for Jose Lascano, who hasn't missed many tricks here at Keeneland. 9 rides for Jose Lascano, and when he comes in, he means business. He's got 4 wins out of the 9 starts. There's really 2 other fillies that I focused on in this race. The 5, Miss Ella, a lightly raced 3-year-old daughter of Exchange Rate. This filly's coming in off a stakes win at Belmont, actually an off-the-turf the race came off the turf, was run on a fast main track going 6 furlongs. Prior to that, she was 2nd in a stake on the turf. She's a filly that can be tactical. Graham Motion, a little bit of a quiet meet for Graham out here at Keeneland, but this filly does own a win over the track and over the distance, and just to her outside, Ah Chocolat. 3-year-old daughter of Candy Ride for Neil Howard,
it's
Brian
chocolate.
Hernandez.
Does nobody get that?
It's chocolate. Oh, chocolate. Oh,
we had this discussion in the first half
chocolate.
Of the show.
We will find out this afternoon when our good friend Kurt Becker, see how Kurt does it.
Yeah, because he's the official. According to Penna, if Kurt Becker says it, it's gospel.
Absolutely.
True.
And I guarantee
I
he won't say
that.
He won't say, oh, chocolate either. This filly also owns a win over the track, and I don't think that they did a very good job on the morning line here. She's listed at 15-1. She's going to be closer to 5-1 than 15-1. I think they missed on that morning line. But I remember when the filly broke her maiden back in the spring here, she was going 1 1/16 that day under Brian Hernandez, who rides back today. She just looked like a stake horse in the making that day. And really, she's had 6 career starts. She owns 3 wins and a 3rd. The 2 bad races, one was 2 turns, 1 1/8 on the turf, and one was over a sloppy racetrack in the Indiana Oaks. So you draw a line through those two. The only time she was 3rd was going 1 1/8 in the Black Eyed Susan on Preakness weekend, and she was wide throughout on that. So if you can really make excuses for the 3 duds that she's run, so to speak, other than that, she's 3 for 6 lifetime. I think this is a filly with a bright future, and given the value that may be had, I think Ah Chocolat will be my play in here with a little exacta box using the 5 Miss Ella and the 2 horse Bar of Gold.
Chocolate is a typically sweet, usually brown food preparation.
He just doesn't get it.
Of Theobroma cocoa seeds. How about that?
All right.
A job well done, Mike.
Yeah.
Wow. And an English lesson, too. What a great morning for me.
Yeah, aren't you glad you got up?
I cannot believe that Steve read my cheat sheets on this race. I have nothing else to add.
I concur.
It's 15-1 on Oh Chocolat, or Ah Chocolat is a big number, and it won't be that. You're right. I also love the fact that she just won a one-turn mile over Churchill Downs. She doesn't have a lot of experience at 7 furlongs. I like to look for a horse that's run and done well at 7 furlongs. It's that interesting distance. Sometimes you have specialists at that. So I agree with you completely. The 5 and the 6 look really live. If you get anywhere near these prices on them, they seem like that's a great value.
All right, John Gasper, how about you? How'd you see the Lexus Raven run?
Well, I've pretty much saw it the same way also. I did actually include another horse in there of Al Stahl's named Chide. And who was actually second, her last start in the Dogwood and came from the clouds. That the problem is with, like Steve said, there's not much speed in here, and that's kind of unusual for a race of this type. You know, usually you get those fast horses, but I think that Bar of Gold and also Miss Ella will probably be the two pace setters. If you look, two races back going 7/8, Bar of Gold was close to the lead, was a half length off the lead at Saratoga in the test, and actually did get the lead at one point. And Miss Ella, I think, will also show speed. I'm not saying that these are real speed horses, but because there's a lack of speed in here, I think that that's what's going to happen. I think that they will go ahead and show more speed than normal on this today. And will be the pace setters. If they can go fast enough, that's going to give Ah Chocolat, a horse like Ah Chocolat, and a horse like Chide, a better chance to catch up. And, of course, obviously, you know, we always, when you have 11 horses, you're going to have to get lucky as far as getting a trip. That's why I think Chide will probably be on the outside. And we saw that yesterday. Rusty Arnold ran a filly up there called Sugar Cone. And same thing. She drew number 9 posts in a 9-horse field, and it looked like, I mean, she just had the perfect trip and just stalked and stalked and stalked. And when it came time, you know, went on and won the race. And I guarantee you, if she would have been down in the one hole or down inside there, that probably wouldn't have happened like that. But it's, as we always said, it's you've got to kind of picture these races in your mind, how they're going to set up. And obviously, more times than not, well, most of the time, it doesn't work that way. But still, you have to. That's how you kind of have to picture it and take your, and use your plays that way. And so I'm going to put Neil's horse on top, Ah Chocolat. Like I said, I'm going to put Chide in there maybe as an exacta box and Bar of Gold with her. So that'll be the 5-2-11. And I'm sorry to say that we have not used the Puerto Rican trifecta, the 3-5-A at all. But I want to tell you, it could happen.
We haven't used it the whole meet.
I know it, but it could. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but Iris Jasper, if you look at her form, now there's a filly there that, if you look back at a couple of races back, she's won going 6, 6.5, a couple of times, laid kind of just a stalking kind of a race and won some races. Now she has trained, she has been sold since that point and ran behind Bar of Gold last time. And I don't know, it was kind of an odd race for her that day. It was a weird kind of a race, but I would expect her to show a little more speed today and maybe be like fourth, fifth, within 3 or 4 lengths of the lead, and she'll run better today than she did last time, I feel. So, again, and if you look back in there, she's another one's been in there with the test, and she's been fourth and right there. And I think if she gets a trip, she'll run better today. And if you're looking, to put like superfectas together and stuff like that, I sure would put her in there for part of the action.
All right, let's once and for all set the record straight here, because this has been an hour and a half debate as to how we pronounce the name of one of the contenders in the Raven run. That is Ah Chocolate, or as you said, Stevie, Ah Chocolat. Well, we said Kurt Becker is never wrong, right? And I put all my
No, face, you said Kurt Becker was
he
never
is never wrong.
Wrong.
Well, Kurt Becker is with us now on the Equine Forum.
All right.
And he is going to set the record straight. Kurt Becker, welcome to the show, my friend.
Gentlemen, good to be on with you.
Great to be on with you as well, or have you on with us, or however this whole thing works. But anyway, when you call the Grade 2 Lexus Raven run this afternoon, how will you be calling the name of the six horse?
Well, I will tell you, I had her back during the spring meet, and she won around two turns at Keeneland, and at that time I went with Ah Chocolate. Now, all I know is, if it's pronounced any differently, I never heard it to the contrary from the connection. So I'm planning to stick with the straight-up Ah Chocolate pronunciation.
Boom goes the Baron.
You must be from Versailles.
Well, you know the one that's got me concerned today in the Lexus Raven run is actually I was up half the night worrying about number seven, Forever Unbridled, because she has an older sibling named Unbridled Forever. And that's the one I was up all night long trying to drill that into my head. And, you know, I was trying to come up, guys, with a way to keep it straight that this one is Forever Unbridled. And I think I finally dawned on the solution. What I've been doing is I've been thinking, okay, Forever Unbridled, I'm taking her initials and drilling them in my mind because of the traffic. I hear this a lot.
That's right. Just like Frances Underwood, right? I love Frances Underwood's cufflinks. They're beautiful.
Outstanding. The great Kurt Becker, ladies and gentlemen. You can catch him this afternoon and every afternoon that they race at Keeneland. Of course, you can catch him on our coverage here as well. Kurt, really do appreciate it, my friend. And thanks for setting the record straight. And good luck with Forever Unbridled.
Gentlemen, thank you. And no doubt right now the Keeneland Board of Directors is tuning in, and after hearing that little explanation of Forever Unbridled, they're saying, that's why we hired this guy. He is all class.
I'm sure Jeffrey Russell approved this message.
Kurt, appreciate it. We'll see you out there this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
All right, great stuff. Kurt Becker, one of the true good guys in the sport, and what an unbelievable announcer. And there you have it, Ah Chocolate, just like the Baron said. All right, we're going to get to a break. We will come back, and we'll take a look at some more racing for you. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane Zen and Woodbine Entertainment.
Airdrie Stud's Majestic Perfection continues to be one of the hottest young stallions in America. His first crop three-year-olds include Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and Ashland Stakes winner Lovely Maria, Graded Stakes winner Hebronville, and the lightning-fast multiple stakes winner Majestic Affair. The number one sire in his crop by 2015 Graded Stakes winners to starters, and average earnings per starter, Majestic Perfection also offers a higher return on investment in the yearling ring than any other stallion in his crop. Airdrie Studs, Majestic Perfection. Think about it.
Come to beautiful Santa Anita today and you can compete for over $100,000 in the Santa Anita Autumn Handicapping Challenge. Go to santaanita.com now for details. Three-year-old fillies take center stage on Saturday in the Grade 3 Autumn Mystics. Come early and get down in our popular 50-cent pick 5. And don't forget, we guarantee $500,000 in the late pick 4 each weekend. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Kitten's Joy.
Big Blue Kitten wins the United Nations for the second time in 3 years.
A champion sire.
Stephanie's Kitten has won the Flower Bowl.
The number one turf sire in America.
Bobby's Kitten like a rocket out of nowhere.
Kitten's Joy, one of the premier stallions in North America, continues to produce young rising stars, including impressive debut winner Camelot Kitten, a full brother to Breeders' Cup winner Bobby's Kitten. Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Homeward bound Songbird now just gets the rein shaken at her, and Songbird goes on gamely. Very game run from land over sea, but the fact is Songbird is just plain too classy. It is Songbird, the daughter of Adalio Daro, in another scintillating performance today.
Songbird remained unbeaten with a dominating win in the Grade 1 Chandelier on September 26th at Santa Anita. The daughter of Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro will arrive at Keeneland as the likely favorite for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, and her powerful win in the Chandelier makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro will likely be represented by six Breeders' Cup starters. Among them is his undefeated two-year-old filly Songbird and 2015 Grade 1 winner Mishawish, who is headed to the Breeders' Cup Mile. With 21 black type winners this year, Medaglia d'Oro stands alone. No other stallion has more. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is David Cohen.
This is Gary Siaka.
This is David Jacobson.
This is Gary Golo.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
They come to the quarter pole. Sarah Siss is still on top now. The whip's out on Sweet Opportunity. Sweet Grass to the extreme outside. Sarah Siss is still on top as they take the turn and swing for home. It's Sarah Siss on top. Sweet Opportunity is still there too. Sweet Grass is next up, and Pangburn down the center. They come down to the final furlong. Sarah Siss is still on top, still being chased there by Sweet Opportunity. Sweet Grass and Pangburn is getting going on the grandstand side. Here's Pangburn trying to run down Sarah Siss. The wire's coming very, very tight. Sarah Siss or Pangburn in a close photo. Sweetgrass did come in third, and Sweet Opportunity was fourth.
Back on the Equine Forum, Mike Penna, Jude Fell, joined by our trio of handicappers, Steve Castagnola, Billy White, and John Gasper. Sarah Siss getting the victory wire to wire in the Grade 3 Iowa Oaks. That was three starts ago. She's 0 for 2 cents, but has faced some heavy hitters. She's 15-1 in today's Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run, but she does have the services of the red-hot Florent Giroux, and that race coming up 5:30 Eastern time. It is all part of our coverage this afternoon on the network, which begins at 5 o'clock Eastern, and that coverage also includes the Maryland Million Classic at Laurel. We'll tell you all about that one here in just a moment, but want to remind you that as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires, like The Factor, the top freshman sire by a yearling average that's 15 times his stud fee, or Union Rags, a Grade 1 winning 2-year-old and Classic winning 3-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and 2-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and greatest stakes winners in 2014. So when it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, just visit lanesend.com. Busy show, covering a lot of ground here today.
Yes, the tweets alone.
Yeah, oh my, we're still getting, by the way, still, you can still tweet us. You still have time. We'll try to read them one more time, any of the ones that still come in. Your most memorable performance in Breeders' Cup history. What one are you never going to forget? At HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Billy White, let's take a look at the Maryland Million Classic, which comes up this afternoon at Laurel. As I mentioned, we'll have the coverage of this race beginning at 5 o'clock Eastern time this afternoon. Post time for the Classic is 5:37 Eastern. It is a mile and an eighth on the main track.
Well, thanks for the lead-in. Appreciate that. And, you know, one thing I think about with horse racing and handicapping, it's all very scientific. There's so much information. There's so many ways to look at and dissect all this information. So for that fact alone, and the fact that I had dinner with Todd Pletcher last night, I'm going to go with Bullheaded Boy in the Classic.
I knew you were going to drop names at some point.
Okay, we were in the same restaurant.
I see.
That's almost like dinner together.
Here, he was across the room.
Here's a little tidbit. I used to own a whisker and a tail of Bullheaded Boy.
Well, fantastic.
When,
I think
when he was a yearling and then he was sold and gone on to do some nice things. So I'm rooting for him today, too.
Yeah, fantastic. I did actually. We were at Azure sitting outside at the bar and had a nice conversation with Todd. He was heading back to New Jersey for these races. And the other thing I do like about this horse is he's coming out of open company at Belmont back to state breds at Maryland. And Todd Pletcher, I've heard, is a pretty good trainer. So he knows what he's doing, and that's my pick on this race.
He can get a horse or two ready.
Absolutely.
Stevie, you want to go next?
Yeah, I think Bullheaded Boy definitely has the credentials to win this. Going turf to dirt, his start two back would probably be good enough to win this. He's a three-year-old going against Olders in here. Gets 114 pounds, and most of that will be carried by Nick Juarez, his rider, this afternoon. The horse on the outside is the morning line favorite, but it's just a short run up to the first turn for Talk Show Man, a kind of a Schwami angle here for us. The 11 Talk Show Man for Hamilton Smith and Xavier Perez. I am a little concerned just that there is just a short run to, as I said, to the first turn in a field of 11. But the horse that I'll be rooting for is the 6 Not Abroad. This is that a typo? 8-year-old bay horse. He won this race 3 starts back. How's that? That was October 6th, 2012. The horse came off a 3-year layoff to run on the 2nd of October, caught a sloppy track that day, obviously a prep for this race. You don't see many 8-year-old horses coming back off 3-year layoffs to come into a stake race. So for sentimental reasons, if for nothing else, at 6-1 on the morning line, I'll be cheering for the number 6, Not Abroad.
Did you hear the interview that's on our website?
I did not, but I will be sure to go to horseracingradio.net.
Lynn Ashby. Yeah, she's an incredible story, too. She is an unbelievable story. A breast cancer survivor. She got breast cancer last year. She told me she went through all the chemo treatments. It has actually affected some of her memory right now. So she asked me to do some of the legwork on researching Not Abroad and that whole story before she came on the show. But she is now starting to gain that memory back. She is starting to get her hair back. She lost all of her hair. She's an unbelievable story, a very courageous woman, and she said that Not Abroad was a huge reason that she was able to get through that very difficult time.
Yeah, she's a great lady, and this is a fantastic story, a horse that Bose's Tendon is retired and just really not totally thrilled with not being in training, and he went back into training and ran a big prep race. He should give a good account of himself. She's not necessarily thinking she'll win it, but it's all part of the process in bringing him back, and a very, very nice horse.
And with it being Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October, I wasn't aware of that backstory, but obviously all the more reason to cheer for the 6 Not Abroad, and best of luck to those connections.
John Gasper, how about you? How'd you see the Maryland Million Classic?
Well, I think that, if you looked all through all the PPs here and go over them and go over them again, it's kind of a glorified allowance race, really. I mean, there's not many stakes horses per se in here. If you look back in there, most of these horses have been running in allowance races and maybe an overnight handicap or something. But there was an interesting horse that I thought was named Flash Phelps, who's coming off of 3 straight wins. He broke it. Took a while for him to break his maiden, but once he did, he figured it out pretty quick. He's run on the turf. He's won on the dirt. He's run against, he won a little restricted stake going 1 1/8 his last start, which was about 7-8 weeks ago over August 22nd there at Laurel. But he seems to kind of, find his way around there. And I give him a little bit of a chance in there. I don't know what the morning line is on him, but Victor Carrasco is
4-1.
4-1. He's figured it out with this horse, and it looks like he's got enough speed to kind of lay up there fairly close and have a good trip. And, at Laurel, this is one of the 1 1/8 distance is they're only really 2-turn race. Everything 1 1/16 is out of a chute. They have 2 finish lines at Laurel. So this is a kind of a different race for some of these horses that haven't been around 2 turns yet. At Laurel itself, you can see back in there, they've there's quite a few of them, obviously, that have raced at Laurel, and a lot of them are mile 16th races, so it's a one-turn race and for them. But it's going to be, you know, I think, no doubt, Todd's horse will probably be the favorite, but there's a couple horses, I guess. Flash Phelps would be one. Maybe Talk Show Man, you give him a little chance in there, too. He was behind Flash Phelps a couple races back, and but I'd say Todd's horse is probably the horse to beat, Bullheaded Boy. And like you say, you know, you like the what was we talked about, Not Abroad, and you know, everybody's kind of pulling for him too. If you can't, you know, if we can't win, we hope that she does. So one of those kind of deals.
JT, how about you? Who wins the Maryland Million Classic?
Well, you know, I talked about Bullheaded Boy and my affection for him. We heard that Hammy Smith isn't real high on how Talk Show Man's training, and he opens as the 5-2 morning line favorite. So, you know, with combined with the post position, I would probably throw him out. I liked Mr. Blue a little bit. I think he's got a shot in there. He's coming off of a good race and an allowance race, and he might be all right. He's 8-1. It's a pretty wide open race. I mean, you know, I don't really love anybody in here. I'm kind of like John in a way that, you know, whoever I would like, I probably wouldn't bet on anyhow. And so I'm just going to root for Bullheaded Boy and Not Abroad and hope one of those two wins.
All right. And of course, that coverage of the Maryland Million Classic, part of our Lexus Raven Run broadcast from Keeneland this afternoon, beginning 5:00 Eastern time. And speaking of the Lexus Raven Run, that is the race that will be our designated Twin Spires HRRN bet back race for this afternoon. Now, if you're not already playing the HRN bet back on our live race coverage, you should be doing it because it is a no risk $14 bet for you. Here's how it works. You go to twinspires.com/HRRN. You make a $7 win bet and a $7 show bet. That's a $14 total bet on one horse in today's Lexus Raven Run. And guess what? If your horse finishes worse than third, you're going to lose your bet. You're going to lose your $14. But it doesn't matter because Twin Spires will refund your entire $14 wager. So you can't lose. It's a free $14 bet. Go there now, twinspires.com/HRRN, and start playing the HRRN bet back every time that we are on the air. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back and take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway. And to do so, we'll look at the big races coming up tomorrow at Woodbine. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Tollgate Hay Company in Georgetown, Kentucky is family-owned and operated and offers top-quality local and northern hay and straw. At Tollgate Hay Company, you'll find hay in both large and small squares with western hay available upon request. Are you in need of bagged shavings or the best in McCauley's feed? Tollgate Hay has you covered. So call today, 502-542-8343. That's 502-542-8343. Tollgate Hay Company.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I've thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer
and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus Store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the Godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
HRRN is proud to bring you the Breeders' Cup Countdown Show, Tuesday through Friday morning during Breeders' Cup Week at Keeneland. We'll broadcast live from trackside and bring you interviews with trainers, jockeys, owners, and other racing insiders. Plus, keep you informed with up-to-the-minute news leading up to the Breeders' Cup. The Breeders' Cup Countdown Show, brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, October 27th through the 30th, only on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
Here's work all week from the outside. Barbados looking for some running room. They've got to catch Run Happy. Gentleman's Bet is there toward the inside. Run Happy past the eighth pole has the lead. Work all week is second. Barbados third. Gentleman's Bet is fourth. Front running style here for the three-year-old Run Happy. Drifting out a deep stretch, but he's got it. Run Happy wins it for Edgar Prado. Close for second, Barbados, or work all week for the runner-up spot in 1 minute 9 4/5 seconds.
Kurt Becker with the call of the Phoenix Stakes, and Run Happy getting the victory on opening day of the Keeneland Fall Meet. We'll see Run Happy as one of the major players in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Of course, that coming up October 30th and 31st at Keeneland. We'll be there with 19 hours of on-site Breeders' Cup coverage that begins Tuesday, October 27th. To learn more about that schedule, go to our website, horseracingradio.net. We're going to look at the Canadian International. Now, we have time to look at one more race. We'll do that next for you. But do want to remind you that tomorrow, when you watch Woodbine, you want to wager not only on the Canadian International, but also on the E.P. Taylor and all the great races. But in terms of the Pattison Canadian International, you're going to see the best horses from countries like Ireland, Germany, England, France, Australia, the United States, and of course, Canada. Wager on the early pick four, which is guaranteed at $300,000 tomorrow, and the late pick four, which is guaranteed at $500,000. And then Woodbine also offering 20-cent bet minimums on all Triactor, Superfecta, pick three, and pick four pools. It's the Pattison Canadian International tomorrow. First post, 1 p.m. Visit CanadianInternational.com. All right, guys, who wants to talk about the Canadian International first as we go down the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway?
It's always a great race. Like you say, it's been the horses like Secretariat have won this race in the past, and it was called the Molson Million, I think, at that time. But there's just been some terrific horses run in this race. And actually, the course itself at Woodbine is one of the best turf courses in North America, no doubt. It's for people that have never seen it or been on up there. It is on the outside of their main track, which is poly track, but is on the outside, so it's actually a mile and a half turf course, and it's not completely oblong. If you look at the your past performances, it's kind of a little bit quirky there in going into the first turn. So, but having said that, I'm with John Cisco coming on earlier today. I think he touched on the American horse, Billy Mott's horse, Triple Threat, and he's going to be my top choice. And I think Second Step for Luca Camani will be my second choice in there. There's several horses in here, obviously, that could win it. Interpol, a local horse for Citatard, has run two great races up there and won the Northern Dancer's last start. And certainly out of a Strawberry Road mare, I mean, he's bred to win this kind of race. And I think he does have enough class to certainly be in the mix. But those three horses, to me, seem like if I were going to play in there, I would key around those three horses: Second Step, Triple Threat, and Interpol.
All right, we've got about 3 minutes left here. And Billy White from Jimmy John's will go to you next and your freaky fast selection for the Pattison Canadian
International. When I think of freaky fast, I think about Powers Court and the Arlington Million. Is that, did he rent, when yeah. win that twice, well, disqualified
he
once.
No, he got disqualified yeah. once.
Unbelievable burst of speed down the lane. I love the fact that you said, John, about the quirkiness of that course. I like this Neil Drysdale horse. He's been knocking on the door. Looks like a little bit of a step below these horses. But the Kentucky Downs is a quirky turf course. And look where he's been. He's got to feel like he's got a chance in here. I like the price. If he's anywhere near 20-1, and you got to like the two, the shipper from Europe.
How about horse names?
Oh, Power Ped, number one, and Canuck Chase, number two.
Go.
And Stevie. I got to put it up with Birds with Johnny V on that horse.
I kind of agree with John on two fronts. One, Woodbine is an amazing facility. If you've never had the chance to go up there, it is first class. I also agree with John on number seven, Triple Threat. I think this horse has caught a yielding turf course in his last two. He appears to be more effective over the firm going. He had a tough trip last time out in the draw of the rail in the Northern Dancer. And I think 10-1 for Bill Mott, Joel Rosario, and Team Valor. Number seven, Triple Threat to take down the $1 million purse.
Pontiff, what you say?
Well, I got to go with my Barbados homie, Sir Michael Stout, and Canuck Chase, Ryan Moore. I think they're probably going to win it. I'm maybe box Canuck Chase and Triple Threat and the other European horse, Second Step, in the try and see if I'm walking around lucky. But those are the three that I like the best.
All right, well, there you have it. And, guys, we'll give you an opportunity before we let you go just to throw in a little plug for everything that you have going on right now. Johnny, I know you're going to be very busy at the Fasig Tipton sale the next couple of days looking for the next future star of the sport.
Yeah, we're always interested in these yearlings, and hopefully can find something out there that we bought a couple out of there last year. There were a couple of nice horses, so that sale has gotten to be a really nice sale recently. Obviously, two Derby winners came out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
Big Brown and Mind That Bird, so... You know, there's some nice horses, I'm sure, out there.
Billy White Shoes, you got a lot going on the sandwich side of things here in Lexington with all the Lexington area Jimmy Johns and a new venture.
We sure do. We've had a very good run lately with the Jimmy Johns. 8 home football games for the UK Wildcats surely helps. There's a lot of it. And that Thursday night game, all our stores on campus really killed it. We had a great week. We've had a few good weeks in a row. And, yes, we're hopping into the fast casual pizza business. Stevie, your family will be on our friends and family list. Hope you don't eat us out of our first round of profit. But we're opening up a number of stores called Uncle Matteo's Pizza Joint. We've already broke ground on our first store. Should be open in mid-January. It's at the corner of Euclid and Marquee, right by the Kroger in Chevy Chase. So, yeah, we got a lot going on. We'll talk more about that. But think pizza for a couple of your meals during the week, starting in January.
And we know Steve Castagnolo with his Kempton Bloodstock, pretty excited about a little horse in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, my friend.
Yeah, very exciting time. Hopefully everybody stays happy and healthy for the next couple of weeks. Brody's Cause, winner of the Grade 1 Futurity at Keeneland, and also Unbridled Outlaw, both worked this morning, hoping to get two horses into the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Twilight Eclipse was a Kempton Bloodstock private purchase, and Liam's Map was a Kempton Bloodstock mating. So very, very excited about the Breeders' Cup, and hope everybody gets there in good order.
All right, guys, appreciate y'all being here this morning. It's been a lot of fun. Jude, you and I will be back to wrap this show up here in just a moment, right after this word from Gainsway.
Power.
And he's pulling away, and Frosted has won the Wood Memorial.
Passion.
Holding off Lee as they come down to the finish. Constitution of the Dawn.
Performance.
Ring Weekend and Drayton Van Dyke up to win the Kilro.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet has once again been sensational in 2015. The champion sire is North America's leading sire this year, represented by 4 2015 Grade 1 winners. Wood Memorial winner Frosted, Ring Weekend, who scored in the Frank E. Kilrow Mile, Don Handicap winner Constitution, and Untappable winner of the Apple Blossom at Oaklawn. Overall, Tappet has sired 17 lifetime Grade 1 winners, 40 graded stakes winners, 11 millionaires, and 6 champions. Tappet is also ranked number 1 in the sales ring in both North America and Europe, with 2015 yearlings averaging more than 952,000. Tappet, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
JT, just a couple of moments here to wrap things up here before we segue out to Keeneland at 5 Eastern this afternoon.
That's a long segue.
It is a very long segue, but you want to make sure you go to horseracingradio.net to get all the information there on that.
Yeah, looking forward to a little afternoon of sport. It's a beautiful day here in the Bluegrass.
Gasper and Billy White, do they know we're still doing a radio show?
I don't think they do. I don't really think they care.
I don't think they even care. You guys know we're on the air, right? Do you really? We're trying to wrap this show up. We're
talking about the Cubs, and I think it's important that we have a small segue to the Cubs in LCS.
Nobody
cares. Go Cubs.
A lot of people care a lot. No more free subs for you.
Go Cubs, go.
Did you bring any free sub cards?
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are gone. A win today.
Wow. From your lips.
Oh,
to the baseball god's
all
ears.
Right. So you just alienated all of our Mets fans out there. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and thank all of our guests for being here with us this morning. Really fun 2 hours. If you missed it, go to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast. The Godfather, Tony Ottiano, in the first half of the show, along with Dan Torgman and John Siskos, Billy White, John Gasper, and Steve Castagnola in hour two.
It was a great show. Yeah, a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. And again, thanks to everybody for joining us. Join us this afternoon, 5 o'clock Eastern time, and check out that entire Breeders' Cup week schedule, edging closer, by the way. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna, and because nothing good comes of deviation, go Steelers!
Good night, Barbados.